God bless you. You may be seated. The New International Version says it like this. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And one more scripture, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. I'm going to talk for a little while tonight on the cost of freedom. The cost of freedom. Jesus Christ has liberated us once and for all from the snare of sin and of death, and by his death and resurrection has blessed us with incredible gift of eternal, abundant life. It's paid for. I said it's paid for. And that allows us to no longer be enslaved to the yoke of slavery, but to live in true freedom, abundance, and liberation as children of the Most High King. He's worthy of our praise. I said he's worthy of our praise. Do not let the things of this world cloud your view of the cross. Last night I sat in the living room looking out our picture window, and I watched the storm as it went by and headed north toward Belfont. I watched the lightning, you know. A couple of times it rained pretty hard at our place, but nothing like other people got. I just watched it. And I thought, what power? What power in the lightning, in the wind? What power in the storm? But we have a God that is more powerful than anything in this whole wide world. See, every time the devil throws a question at you about your God, remember this. God has always had the answer before hell had the question. I said, God has always had the answer before hell had the question. Sharon Begley is a science columnist for the Wall Street Journal. I quote her. It is possible to reset our happiness meter. Are you sad? It is possible to regain the use of limbs disabled by stroke. It is possible to train the mind to break cycles of depression. The brain can adapt. It can heal. It can renew itself after trauma, and it can compensate for disabilities. Whew. That's a mouthful. I hope it was an earful. That's a mouthful. In order to get to where God wants you to be, you have to go beyond yourself and be renewed in your mind in order to embrace what God has for you. Most of us do not see far enough ahead for what God wants for us to do anything about it. We live day by day, minute by minute, feeling by feeling. Our eyes, our ears tell us how to feel. See, you don't have to tell God how to do it. You just need to do what God speaks to you to do. I mean, how many you got kids or had kids or your kids are big or what? You know, how many times have you said to your kids, "Can you hear me?" And what would you do if one of them looked up and said, "Nope, took off. Well, if that was back in my day, my mama would have took off after me. And I'd had to let her catch me. You know? And she took a couple cracks on my backside, and I'd have to say, "Oh, mama, I'm so sorry, don't do that again." Well, it never hurt. But I had to make her think, "I got it. I got it." You know? And when my kids begin to grow up, act the same way, my mother said, "Uh-huh. Payback." You see, if you don't change your mind, you won't change anything. So I'm going to preach about the cost of freedom. The cost of freedom. You were redeemed by the blood, and that same blood will keep you pure and holy. The blood has never, ever lost its power. Somehow or another, we have developed into people that see the cross without the blood. We cannot allow ourselves to see the cross and not see the blood. Every time the devil tries to derail you from the plan of God in your life, your praise throws him off course. Your praise throws the devil off course. Amen. You need to have a touch of the Holy Ghost in you afresh. If you keep going around saying, "I can't take much more of this." "I can't do this much longer." Or my favorite. "Why?" You ever ask God that? "Why, God?" Every time the devil tries to remind you of past failures, your praise steps in and reminds him of his future. We let him derail us on our future when our praise will derail him about his future. I got to stay calm. This is Bible study. Got to stay calm. I'm not preaching until the 21st. Just a touch here about Independence Day. 25,000 New England soldiers and 24,000 British soldiers were killed, and around 75,000 from both sides were wounded fighting for independence. We wanted independence. They didn't want us to have it. In 1775, people in New England began fighting the British for their independence. On July the 2nd, 1776, the Congress secretly voted for independence from Great Britain. 2 days later, on July 4th, 1776, the final wording of the Declaration of Independence was approved. Blood brought independence. Death brought independence. I hope you don't celebrate July 4th just for the fireworks. I hope it means something more than fireworks to you. It's interestingly that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, both signers of the Declaration of Independence and both presidents of the United States, both of them died on July the 4th, 1826, exactly 50 years after the adoption of the Declaration. Think about this. We're talking about the cost of freedom. America's wars from 1775 to 1991, they had 651,031 battle deaths, 308,800 other deaths, 230,250 deaths from diseases, and non-mortal wounds were 1,430,290. On the war on global terror, there was 6,930 battle deaths in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan. And other deaths totaled 1,378. Near mortal wounds were 52,566. Every single one of those particular soldiers would tell you that that freedom that brought to us took blood and it took sweat. It took work and it was hard work. It took some of their friends. It took their buddies. It took loved ones. I'm telling you, when you come down to our freedom did not come at no cost. But God has made a way for you to be free from your own world. All of us have our own little world. You know, and it don't take much to look across and see somebody and they're in their own little world. We have a little girl who lives a couple houses down from us. And she's got one of those push pedal scooters. Man, could she make that thing fly. But she'll come by the house, and she's just talking to somebody on this side, and then she's talking to somebody over here on this side, and then she'll stop, and she'll talk to somebody in front of her, and I'm watching, and I ain't never seeing nobody. Yeah. My mind says, crazy little kid, but my spirit says, she's growing up. She's learning how to communicate. But we've got to outgrow talking to ourselves and answering ourselves. We've got to get out of our little world. This may be interesting to some of you folks. Howard Schultz, Starbucks owner, grew up in a housing complex for the poor. He said, and I quote, "Growing up, I always felt like I was living on the other side of the tracks. I knew the people on the other side had more resources, more money, happier families. And for some reason, I don't know why or how, I wanted to climb over that fence and achieve something beyond what people were saying was possible. I may have a suit and a tie on, but I know where I came from, and I know what it was like." Hallelujah. You can achieve something in this God that you serve. I don't care if you got family members that don't like your religion. I don't care if they don't like the way you serve God. I don't care if they preach to you against Jesus' name. I don't care if they tell you you're a devil talking in tongues. My God has got something for you, and you need to climb over that fence. You need to get beyond what you've been brought up in. You need to get beyond your own self. You need to get out of your own little world, and you need to find the freedom that God has given for you. Too many have been encapsulated by self. You live in your own little ball. We say, God can perform miracles. And you say, he can. But you don't believe it. Because when you need one, he's not the first place you go. We say, God can supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And we say, how am I going to do this? How's this going to happen? Encapsulated, enclosed, encased, contained, surrounded by self. Amen. Sometimes people have a smile and they're not happy. Hello? You know? And I love that big one. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. And it won't be 5 minutes they're complaining to somebody about how bad they feel. If I tell you that if I was any better, I'd have to be twins, I'm telling you the truth. We're not happy with what we do. We're not happy with where we live. We're not happy with our relationship with God. Until we accept freedom, we're always going to be encapsulated with ourselves. We have to accept freedom. Just because he died for your freedom doesn't mean you've been set free. The scripture said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Nobody can make you do anything you don't want to do. So the secret is, ye shall know the truth. You've got to know the truth for the truth to make you free. Hallelujah. You've got to know the truth. You will never get to where God wants you to be until you become happy with where you are and who you are. Mr. Schultz, I grew up on the other side of the tracks too. Only we didn't have tracks. But I grew up on the other side. From the time I was 10 years old, I worked for rich people. Raking yards, cutting grass, painting. By the time I was 12, my parents never had to buy me any more clothes. I bought my own. Mom never had to give me my quarter allowance every Saturday. Hey, back then, that was a lot of money. You know. But I was able to say, share it with the other kids. Why? Because I found out at an early age, just because they got money doesn't make them better than me. Just because they live in a big house doesn't make them better than me. Just because they got big yards and drive fancy cars doesn't make them better than me. I was happier than some of them were. When I walked up there and knocked on their door and said, $10 for cutting the grass, I was a rich boy. I mean, you figure that percentage out, a quarter, $10. And I probably did two of them a day on Saturdays. Freedom. I had the freedom to knock on their door and say, how would you like to get your grass cut? I do such a good job, I use your mower, I use your gas. And you're going to be happy with what I do. And if I rake your leaves, when I get done, there will not be one leaf left in your yard. If I'm looking at you and one falls, I go get it before I get paid. Why? because I was free. I knew I could do a good job. I knew I could do what needed to be done. I knew when they gave me that $10 that I had earned it. You see, God needs to start a starting place to move us from where we are to where He wants us to be. The problem with most of us is we want to go from here where we are. We want to go way over here to where we want to be. And we want to bypass where God wants us to be. We've got to be where God wants us to be. The freedom that He paid for was for us to be where He wants us to be. Not freedom to do our own thing. Freedom is not free, so don't take your spiritual freedom for granted. See, if you don't appreciate the cause of God, you will never appreciate the freedom that it brings. You've got to agree with the cause. If you agree with the cause, you'll do a good job serving Him. Brother Patterson said it the other day, other service. If you live for God easy, it's hard. But if you live for God hard, it's easy. We've got to get less of us, more of Him. Less of us, and more of Him. John said, I must decrease so that He may increase. Hallelujah. This God that we love, this powerful God that we serve, this God that robed Himself in a body of flesh and came, suffered, died, stripes on His back, spear in His side, nail prints in His hand. But where that blood fell, love grew. Hallelujah. Where that blood fell from that cross, love grew. And it was the love of freedom. It was the love that brought Him because He wanted us to be free. He wanted us to worship Him. Because we had the freedom to worship Him. To lift holy hands to Him. Because we want to lift holy hands to Him. Many times as I've been in church services, over so many years, when somebody gets up here and says, let's lift our hands, you know, inside of me I say, I lift my hands to You, O God. I'm not lifting them because Brother Patterson said, lift your hands. Brother Patterson's just trying to guide us. Lord knows we all need to be guided. Hello? You know. But when He says it, something inside of me says, I lift my hands to You. You are worthy. I give You honor by lifting my hands. And when I raise my hands to praise Him, they go in this direction. When I raise my hands to receive from Him, they go in this direction. I surrender, I receive. I surrender, I receive. Because You paid the price. You paid a price. Not one time does the Bible record when they were giving him 39 lashes that he turned and looked at the one with the whip saying, please don't do that again. He knew he had to take 40 lashes less one. I don't know what it's like today, but years ago, I remember a preacher preaching, and then I did some study on it and followed it up. And it said back then that under the medical umbrella, every disease, every sickness, everything that we could name fell under 39 categories. One stripe for every category. And now they've added this and added that and added this name, and you know, but they must all fall under those categories because he took 39 stripes for it all. They put him on that cross, they hung him there. They beat him, spit upon him, drove nails in his hands and feet, mocked him, and he hung there. Not because they put him there, not because he had nails in his hands, not because he had nails in his, a nail in his feet. But because the whole thing spoke of love. I love you this much. I love you so much, I'm not going to call 10,000 angels down to get me off this thing. I love you so much that I took those stripes. I love you so much that in just a little while they're going to thrust a spear into my side. I love you so much that in a little while I'm going to give up the ghost and this body's going to die so they can put me in that tomb I can see over there so that I know in 3 days I'm coming back out because I love you so much. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come back to you and pour out the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because I am giving you the power and the authority to live in this freedom. I paid for it. I'm the one that died for it. There are not many soldiers that died for that freedom. Yes, maybe for our independence. Yes, maybe going through the wars and the battles. But one died for all of mankind. One died for all of our sins. No matter how long we live, he's got us covered. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're 73 years old and you're just coming to God and repenting for 73 years worth of sin. He's got that covered and everything from now till you're gone. Got you covered by his blood. What a price he paid for our freedom. Let me read a couple of scriptures. I did not give these to you, Kyle. Say, Psalms 118:5 said, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. Psalms 119:45, I'll walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. When you are encapsulated into your own self, you are bound in your own prison. I thought about this when I was studying. I grew up in an area that was just about 40, 45 miles from Chicago, Illinois. And up in Chicago, they've got what's called the Science and Industry Museum. It is humongous. One of the things that I used to like when I would go is they got this big replica of a human heart. And when you step into it, bum, 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 you hear your heart beating, bum, 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 bum. You know, first time I went through it, I looked back and I said, now whose heart's beating? There was four of us in there at one time. But it's supposed to be your heartbeat. But one of the things that captivated me was over in this one corner, they had all these little chicken eggs. And they were all under heat lamps. And you could walk up there and stand for a little bit, and all of a sudden one of those eggs would start to rock. Something's about to happen. You stand there long enough, and all of a sudden you see an egg begin to crack. And pretty soon here would come a foot or a wing or a head come out from that crack. I watched one little chick, he tried to go across that little floor there and that half a shell was on his back. He was trying to shake it off. But it impressed me because I just saw life. I just saw life. Jesus looked down off of that cross. And he saw life. He saw your life. I don't care when you were born. He saw your life. One lady at the heart rehab today, she looked over and she said, why are you always so happy? You had a heart attack. Jesus kept me alive. Hallelujah. Jesus kept me alive. I'm happy. Did you see the sun out there shining today? I want you to know something, folks. Every day is a brand new day when you almost died. Somehow I could almost look up into the clouds and still see him on the cross. But that's not where he needed to stay. He needed us to still see the blood on the cross and know that he's not there any longer because he's paid for our freedom. You are exceptional. Yeah. You that think you're just nothing. You that perhaps sometime during this week, you've already made the statement, I think I'm going crazy. I'm losing my mind. You kids are driving me crazy. You are crazy to have them if that's the way you feel. You should have thought that through. I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything. No. Well, if you think you're not worth anything, Ken, do you know the cost? What our body is worth, dollar and something. You know, if it melt us all down and get all the chemicals and everything. You know, we're worth a dollar and something. No, we're all the same boat. I don't care if you're this big, you're still worth the same thing. If you're this big, you're still worth the same thing. But because of him, he said, I'm going to give you a chance to be free. I'm going to give you a chance to feel good about yourself. I'm going to give you a chance to accomplish great things in your life. So you're exceptional. So it's time to break the famine. Whether it be financial, relational, emotional, it's time to experience the greatness God has placed inside of you. The truth is, we were all created to be exceptional. It's been a while back. Sister Wilson and I were in a restaurant. There was a lady sitting at the table, having her hands full with an exceptional child. And I mean, she had her hands full. But something touched me. I called the waitress over and I said, I want her check. I want her check. I'm paying for that meal. And before we left, I got up and I walked over there and I looked at her and I said, you know, God only gives exceptional children to exceptional parents. You know, God has blessed you abundantly. And we left. I don't know if she ever knew we paid her bill or not. It didn't make any difference. But it touched me because she was so patient with her hands so full. How patient has God been with you? Brother Jan, I don't think I could count high enough to count the number of sins he's forgiven me of. I don't think I could count that high. I don't have enough fingers and toes. But he set me free. He set me free. He paid the price for my freedom. Would you stand with me?